name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today, on this Sunday, brothers and sisters in Christ, we are making a new beginning, a fresh start. It is the commencement of a new period in the Church's year, a period known as the Triodion. Last night, at Vespers, the reader came and picked up the book of the Triodion that was resting just in front of the icon of Christ on the icon screen. And this is the book that we shall be using for the next 10 weeks. So it is now 3 weeks before the beginning of Lent, the great fast. And it is 10 weeks to Pascha, to the great joy of the resurrection. We are making a new beginning, but what kind of new beginning shall this be? How shall we begin anew? In today's Gospel, there was set before us two figures with two contrasting prayers. Let us compare these two figures with their prayers. First there is the Pharisee. He begins his prayer, "God, I'd thank you." Now that in itself is a good beginning. As great priest of 19th century Russia, Father John Kronstadt used to say, prayer is a state of continual gratitude. We should not begin our prayers by confessing our sins or lamenting our difficulties. We should begin by blessing God, by giving him thanks. But in his prayer, as he proceeds, the Pharisee speaks the truth. He is indeed a righteous man in his outward way of life. When he says that he observes the fasts, that is really what he does. When he says that he gives to the poor, he is speaking the truth. What then is wrong with the Pharisee's prayer? Well, let's turn to the other figure, the publican or tax collector. He too speaks the truth in his prayer. He is a sinner. He is involved in the iniquitous system of tax collection that existed in the Roman Empire. The collection of taxes in different districts was put up to auction, and the person who was willing to pay the highest price to the tax collector was awarded the duty of gathering tax. He would naturally wish to recover his money that he had spent on obtaining the office of tax collector. And so the tax collectors were guilty of grinding the faces of the poor and oppressing all who were in need, exploiting the people, inflicting suffering. Luther, the tax collector, has good reason to feel a sense of hopelessness. What can he do to change his situation? He's caught in a trap from which there seems to be no escape. Under the Jewish law, he was bound to make a restitution of all his fraudulent gains and to add one fifth more to that. He spent the money that he raised from the taxes. Where is he going to find enough money to pay off all that he's taken? How can he find all those whom he has cheated? So why in the parable is the sinful tax collector justified rather than the seemingly righteous Pharisee? Let's look again at the two prayers. The Pharisee gives thanks, but in the wrong way. Seemingly he blesses God, but actually he congratulates himself. He is self-satisfied, complacent, and so he leaves no room for God to act. What is more, the Pharisee looks sideways. He makes comparisons. He says, I am not as other people are. Or is that all? He denies, he repudiates his fellow human, his brother, the tax collector. He dismisses him. He feels no compassion for him. He treats him as an object, not as a person. And what about the prayer of the tax collector? Whereas the Pharisee is self-satisfied, the publican is self-dissatisfied. He is not complacent. He does not try to justify himself before God. He is broken in spirit. He puts no trust in himself. But he simply asks for God's mercy. God be merciful to me, a sinner. He's just like the repentant thief on the cross, about whom we shall hear on Great Friday. He too, hanging on the cross, does not try to justify himself, but he simply appeals to Christ for mercy. Lord, remember me, he says, in your kingdom. So then, the publican, the tax collector, recognizes his need, for forgiveness. He cries out for help. And because of all this, there is hope for him, although at this particular moment he does not realize it. Now the positive element then in the publican's prayer is precisely he does not seek to justify himself. Precisely because, unlike the Pharisee, he is self-dissatisfied. Not self-satisfied. He leaves room for God to act. Room for the grace and power of the Holy Spirit. So now, let us apply all that to ourselves. Who do you resist? was in. Who do I was in? Is it the self-satisfied Pharisee, or is it the self-dissatisfied tax collector? Lent is a time for repentance. And repentance, in Greek, metanoia, means literally change of mind. Repentance is not primarily a feeling of guilt and shame. Repentance is not the same as self-disgust. Repentance means a new way of looking at myself, at my fellow humans, at God. A change of mind. How are you and I going to change our minds this Lent? In a second century text, the Shepherd of Hermas, it is said, repentance is a great understanding. Not a feeling of horror and self-disapproval, but a new understanding. How shall you and I grow in understanding during the coming season of the 40-day fast? Shall you and I indeed show the great understanding that was to be found in the publican? Shall you and I be accepted in the mercy of God because of the true prayer of repentance that we have offered with full intensity from our hearts? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Για το ότι και αδικούμενοι στην άπνη.